Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are really thrilled today. We are here to be talking about the non-Hallmark Christmas movies that we've seen over the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I'm Rachel and Amy's here.
Hey, guys.
Yes. And so far, how do you feel? Now we're a couple, like 3 weeks in to the Christmas movie season. And how are you feeling kind of about the season as a whole so far?
I think it's really good. I personally think Up is really, really strong this year. And so I'm like really excited to see what else they have coming because I think they've had three really good movies so far. Mm-hmm. Lifetime hasn't been doing it for me really. Like I just haven't seen as much. Like they're okay, but nothing that's making me extremely happy. Like the thing that's making me most extremely happy in all three of these movies, four of these movies we're talking about today, is the mention of the same storm in every single Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
That's it. Like that's the only thing that is making me happy about these movies right now.
I do agree. I think that Lifetime is not bringing it this year. I'm very disappointed after such a strong year last year. And maybe we should have been clued in by the fact they didn't do the preview show this year. Mm-hmm. Because last year, the preview show itself was one of the highlights of the whole season.
Yeah.
That preview show was so funny.
It was so good. And so good. Not having one this year, first off, I'm like, well, why not? Like, did they not have previews ready or something? Yeah. Or I don't know. I feel like, okay, this might be rude, but I feel like a lot of these movies are carbon copies of old Hallmark movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just really bland. And I don't know. I've liked two of the Lifetime. I mean, I've liked the, as far as Lifetime, like there haven't been that many that I've like hated. But yeah. I don't know. Last year was so good. So maybe my expectations were too high. Mm-hmm. But I pretty much think that Hallmark has been way better this year than Lifetime, which I was not anticipating.
Well, because Lifetime had like two hits last year, Christmas Perfection and Christmas Pen Pals were like two really good ones. And then they had a couple others, like the one with Beth, Lucy from Seventh Heaven. I can't remember her name.
Was that on? Oh, that was the hometown.
Hometown. Like that was okay. Holiday, like,
but the Nutcracker one, that was pretty funny.
But I feel like this year, a lot of them are, they're not something I'd watch again. Like I didn't hate them.
Yeah.
But I don't see myself being like, oh, I have to watch this again. Like, no, it was a one and done type of thing.
And it kind of reminds me of their slate in 2017, where I felt like they had these huge bloated casts. Like I remember Wrapped Up in Christmas, for instance, where it had Tatiana Lee, and Jasmine Guy, and Kim Fields. And it had this huge cast of people that I love. But then the story just wasn't that great and didn't do it for me. And I kind of feel a little bit like that here, like that with Lifetime, that they have these pretty good casts full of people that I like, and they sound good in theory, but then in execution, they're kind of boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So it is disappointing, but yeah, I agree with you also about Up. They are killing it this year, and the ratings are showing.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing practically as well as Hallmark.
And, which is awesome.
Yeah, which is great. And I just think that Amy Winter is just doing such a good job running that network. Because, I mean, it's not an easy thing, you know, trying to make a dent with a small network.
Yeah, and the thing is, I really think that Up is doing quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And it seems like Lifetime this year just tried to up quantity without trying to improve quality as well. And then Hallmark's always, I mean, their stuff is always good quality, even if there's a ton of them. But I feel like Lifetime didn't catch up with the quality when they were increasing their quantity.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And I was expecting to say that about Hallmark, but so far, I feel like their movies have been pretty good, pretty entertaining. Like even ones that were just kind of, I mean, the only one that I really, really disliked from Hallmark was the Merry Christmas Match.
But yeah, that one was okay.
Everything else,
yeah,
I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I've enjoyed pretty much everything else they've done this year. So
yeah, I agree. Well, let's dive in and talk about the movies.
All righty. Okay. All right. So let's start out. We're starting out with a sequel from last year on up, called Christmas with a Prince Becoming Royal, and this stars Caitlin Leib, Nick Hounslow, and Charles. I'm not even going to try that last name.
Charles Shaughnessy.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So 1 year after Dr. Tasha and Prince Alec meet and fall in love, Tasha is on her way to spend the holidays at Sansevar and get a taste of royal life. When Alec surprises her with a royal engagement, she spends her first magical days there trying to stay grounded while managing a task and planning a royal wedding. But when Miranda starts scheming to break the two up, it will take a big sacrifice and a Christmas miracle to make sure they get the holiday royal wedding of their dreams. So first thing I wanted to ask you, though, is did you like in this movie the difference in location, where it's not focusing so much on the hospital, but it was now we were in the kingdom?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like this was stronger than the first pretty much all around. And I think because there was, it was slightly awkward, like having this grown man in the
children's ward,
pediatrics wing of the hospital. And I don't know, it didn't quite work for me last year. And they didn't have enough of Charles Shaughnessy, who I love, who is the in The Nanny, and which is a show I love. And they definitely added way more to his part in this one, which I enjoyed. And I don't know. I mean, this is a fairly standard princess movie. It's not reinventing the wheel. But as I said in my little summary that I do on my Twitter, said, if you're in the mood for a movie like this, you could certainly do worse. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And so I have a few things. I did get to interview the director this summer, awesome. Justin Dyke. Yeah. And he's really cool, guy. So I'll put a link to that in the description section if people want to listen to him. But yeah, I thought this was cute. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said. I liked it as well. And I think it was a little bit more scandalous than something you see in Hallmark, with the whole issue with the Photoshop pictures and stuff. Yeah. So I think it kind of upped an ante for me a little bit, just because it was a little more scandalous.
Yeah. I mean, Miranda, she was very schemy. The schemy Russian, you know, whatever. That was really fun.
Do you think that because this has done so well, the second one, and I agree, I think the second one was a little bit better. Do you think they're going to go like the Netflix route has with their royal movies? And do you think we're going to get a royal baby next year on up?
I think so. I do. Yeah. Something like that. I mean, we're talking nitpicks, but I didn't love her dress.
Yeah. It was okay. I mean, I recently started watching Heartland, and I'm pretty sure this main actress, she's on Heartland.
Oh, okay.
But I started to love her a little. Like, I enjoyed her more in this movie because I knew who she was, whereas last year I didn't. Uh-huh. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't particularly love non-white wedding dresses. I'm a traditionalist, I guess, that way.
It was a little weird. Yeah.
And I don't know. I just felt like it looked like a prom dress more than a wedding dress. And I did like the veil on it. That was very pretty. But I don't know. I just didn't like
it. It was just a weird color.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is that her? Like, when she first came out, and then I'm like, oh, are they having a ball or something, or an engagement party or something? I didn't think that would be her wedding dress.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't love the dress. And I thought that the pacing could have been a little tighter, but it was fun having that, what did you think of that weird guy at the airport? Was that supposed to be like kind of Santa Claus-y or something?
I'm not sure, but when she first met him, I'm like, oh, he's the one who did something, and he's gonna make it all better. I kind of knew right away. I suspected him. I guess maybe a Santa Claus character, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's a weird Santa.
I liked his performance, but I was just unsure of what he was supposed to be. Like, he was mm-hmm. just kind of a weird character.
It was just like the random weird paparazzi guy.
Yeah. And so, but I felt like this is kind of a rock and roll Santa kind of archetype, like, character. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was some definitely trying to be like Christmas magic or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was weird. And yeah, the whole pitcher thing was just, I mean, why was he, how did he get a pitcher like that anyway? Like,
I know, right?
Like, I mean, it was awfully posed.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah, and just like the minute I saw those pictures, I'm like looking at it from a Photoshop perspective, and I'm like, okay, literally it's cut right there.
Yeah, that was really funny. I mean, I think that in this day and age, anybody who would try to blackmail somebody like that, you know, I just, it had sort of a charm to it because it felt really old school. It felt like something from the 90s.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was just really funny.
Yeah. And the whole blackmail thing of her like being like, I'm going to put it on the internet or whatever. The thing is, there are so many, like, this would get on Tumblr in like 20 minutes and someone would pick apart that it had been Photoshopped. Like,
yeah.
The internet would be like, yeah, no, that's fake. So.
Well, and also the whole idea of this like treaty needed between these two countries, and that also felt kind of, I don't know, kind of ridiculous that any leader would give up like millions of dollars and this huge, you know, treaty or whatever, evidently that's essential to their people in order for, you know, it's not like we're not in the 1600s or something like that where people are, you know, where there's marriage treaties and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, royal families are just basically for show now. And so that would be crazy. It'd be like, I don't know, I mean, sacrificing your whole economy so that you can have you know, for like celebrity photo ops and stuff. Like, it was funny, but so how many out of 5 stars would you give this one?
I'm giving it 3.75.
Okay, good. Yeah.
What do you give it?
I think I'd go more like 3.25.
Okay.
Because I do think the pacing could have been a little better, mm-hmm. but I like her brother.
Yeah, he like stole the show for me.
Yeah.
I really like him, yeah.
He was good. So, I think mm-hmm. they did a good job. Like I said, if it's not going to, if you look at it and you're like, "Oh, that looks terrible. I never want to watch that." Then it won't be for you. But
yeah.
If you like princess movies, then you'll enjoy it.
Mhm. All righty. So, up next, we have another one from Up. Haha, pun intended. called A Rock and Roll Christmas, starring Beverly Mitchell, Catherine Mary Stewart, and David Pinard. Okay. And this is an estranged mother-daughter country music duo reunite after 10 years apart to release a Christmas single after a video of them goes viral. Now they're going to need a lot of forgiveness and a little Christmas magic to write a song that perfectly captures the spirit of Christmas and brings their family back together. Mm-hmm. So what did you think of this, Rachel?
So I liked it. I enjoyed it. I did think the acting was pretty strong. Mm-hmm. And I thought the music was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think that it was refreshing to watch a movie that was more about familial conflict than than romance. Did have that romantic element, but the core of the movie was about this family trying to get along. And I liked that. My problem with the movie is I think that the familial conflict was resolved way too quickly. And it's just hard because you only have so much time in these movies. So I don't know what I would suggest, but it just felt too fast that all of a sudden they went from some pretty hateful words and some pretty hard conflict to everything, you know, them singing on the stage and everything being hunky-dory in the end. And so that was my main frustration with the movie, but it was fine.
Yeah, I agree. I really liked it though. I loved the singing in it. And I kind of, it made me happy that they weren't singing the same song over and over and over again. Cause there's so many of these movies like that, where it'll be like, we have to work on this one song. And then they sing that song like 12 times in the movie, but all of these were different. And that made me happy and made me feel more like it was actually, you know, they were actually a group because they weren't just working on the same song the whole time.
Yeah.
But I also feel like there wasn't enough time spent on the couple, specifically Beverly Mitchell's, like that coupling. Like, I don't think there was enough time for it. And by the time they kissed at the end, I was like, okay, but they hardly know each other. It didn't sell it for me on the relationships, and even the relationship between the mom and the her agent or whatever. I was like, well, there wasn't really like a lot of time for that to be figured out. So it just kind of seemed a little off for me.
But other than that, I really enjoyed it. I think maybe they should have ended the conflict a little sooner. Mm-hmm. Maybe just had, because they had, you know, 3 or 4 scenes of them, you know,
arguing, bickering,
yeah. arguing. Yeah. And pretty sane, pretty hurtful stuff. And I think maybe if they'd cut that down to like 2.
Yeah.
And then gotten them to sort of make up a little bit more quickly, I think that would have helped, and you would have gotten a little bit more invested in their relationship. And then maybe be able to have some of the romance be a little bit sooner as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was solid, and I do think everybody across the board, I think, was pretty good acting.
Yeah. Great acting and great music. I didn't know Beverly Mitchell could sing like that. So,
well, I mean, last year she sang Hometown Holiday, but it was The Curse of O Holy Night.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the problem. That inspired my first O Holy Night rant.
Oh, okay. I remember a couple of those last year. I can't keep them straight.
Yeah. And you'll hear, I got to interview Laura Osnes, and who's a Broadway singer. I said, Laura, can you agree with me that O Holy Night is a really hard song and people should not sing it if they're not like super, you know, professional singer? And she was like, yeah, it's a pretty hard song. Yes. So, vindication. But anyway, but yeah, I think the song suited their voices better than that, and it was cute that the granddaughter/daughter came out at the end, and so it was the three of them singing, I give this one. Let's see. Do I like it? I'm trying to think if I liked it better.
Can we just like clip that and like, did I like it? Because the way you said it was just perfect.
Well, did I like it more than the Christmas with the Prince? Because I gave that 3.25. Mm-hmm. I think I did like it a little more. So I'm going to give it 3.5.
All right. And I gave it the exact same, 3.5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all good. Right, all right. So, yeah, it wasn't quite as good as last year. There was on Ion Channel, I'm trying to remember, it was like Christmas Duet or Christmas Duo or something like that.
Yeah.
That was really good. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They're the good folks over at Skylight Frame. And right now you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. That's not Hallmarkies, enter code Hallmark, and you'll get $10 off your purchase. That's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, code Hallmark. And what's really cool, we've seen a lot of different digital frames over the years, but what the special about this one is that people can upload to the frame from sending an email. They can do it all digitally. You don't have to be connected to it through USB or anything like that. So you could be looking at your frame and surprise, a picture from one of your relatives, your friends, whatever, could pop up on the frame, which I think is such a fun idea. And if you're looking for a present for this holiday season, this is a really, I think, novel, fun option there. And it's very attractive. It's a black frame with white mat. It looks like a traditional framed photograph, 10-inch touchscreen, and it's just really easy to use. They have 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So Amy, do you think that this is something that would be fun for a gift or something like that?
Oh yeah, I think that'd be awesome. You could, pictures of my nephews. Mm-hmm. My parents would love that.
Yeah, definitely. So you can get a special holiday offer right now, $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame. You go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. So that's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, enter code Hallmark.
All right, let's switch it on over to Lifetime, guys.
There you go.
All right, start out with Christmas Reservations. This is one that was like highly anticipated because it's the Melissa Joan Hart, Michael Gross, Marky Post, Ted McGlinley, and Ricardo Chavara. Okay. And this is, it's Christmas at the Treeline Ski Resort, where Holly is an event coordinator at her family's lodge. She plans every event and keeps all the guests happy. But when her college sweetheart, now widowed with two children, checks in, Holly discovers she has her own reservations about life and love. Ooh.
Yeah.
And this was a big ensemble cast. There was a lot of different little groups in this movie. Yeah. So which was your favorite guest grouping and which was your favorite couple grouping? Because there was a lot.
Well, yeah. In theory, I like this movie a lot because that whole idea of a sort of a Christmas following all the different guests at a Christmas hotel sounds so much fun. And I think my favorite was probably Michael Gross and the two ladies. I know they were both interested, but that whole sort of plot line I thought was really sweet and I enjoyed it. But I had a lot of issues with this movie. I don't know. What was your favorite?
So my favorite guests were, I like the sisters, Kay and Tay. Yeah, I like those.
They're the best.
And then my favorite couple was the young couple, which was Ponhi and I don't know what the guy's name was, but I liked the college storyline
a
lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I was frustrated by this movie. I felt like the writing just wasn't very good. And I don't want to sound mean because I think it's good to have that they really went for it as far as the diversity, but they needed to get stronger talent. I thought that Indian or Pakistani woman, the grandma, I thought she was so bad. I thought I thought that every time she was on screen, I was just cringing. I thought her acting was terrible.
This is only her third part ever.
Okay.
Or fifth part. I'm on her IMDb. So.
It showed. She just didn't do it for me. That's just how I felt. And I felt like the writing in this movie was so clunky. And so everybody felt there were just very few moments that to me felt human and real, and everything felt awkward when it was supposed to be funny. And I don't know. I felt like the diversity that they did have felt really, really like stereotypes, and just really mm-hmm. not like, that's the hard part about when you include diversity. If you don't do it well, it can come off as really cloying. And that's how I felt with this. And I don't know, like even stuff like the dog being a reindeer was just stupid.
This is ridiculous. Like,
and I don't know, like in theory, this should be fun, but I don't know. The writing just wasn't there for me. I just, like I said, felt like I was cringing the whole time. So I didn't like it.
No, I feel like they tried too hard to make an ensemble cast. And I mean, I really was not invested in most of it. Like the whole old Olympic medalist thing, like that storyline, I was like, okay, what's the point of this?
It just come off as,
it was too much.
It's just awkward when somebody trying to tell a joke mm-hmm. and it's not working, and they keep persisting at it and persisting at it. You're just like, read the room, guy. Like, what are you doing? That's how it felt. It was just,
I am like happy because like, this is probably the only like college kids falling in love we're going to get probably the whole season, because for some reason, all these network Christmas movies are like, people under 25, they can't fall in love.
No, I mean, that's true. But even that was cringy to me. I just didn't like this movie. It wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. I thought that the Melissa Joan Hart and Ricardo Chavira, mm-hmm. I thought they had decent chemistry. And like, I kind of liked the fact that she, at the end, she's just like, well, I'm getting in the car with you. Like, what? That was weird. But just the writing, it just wasn't there for me. The writing was more awkward than funny. And it felt like it was just very cliched. And I know a lot of these movies are very cliched, but it was just done in a way that felt kind of like stereotypes and mm-hmm. awkward scenes. And I like the fact that they got this diverse cast, but you mm-hmm. have to execute it well. Otherwise it's just kind of like, to me. So
what would you rank it?
1.5. I really didn't enjoy it. Yeah.
Wow. I was very generous. I gave it a 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people really enjoyed it, so that's awesome, but mm-hmm. it was not for me. So.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So let's move on to the next one then. Always and Forever Christmas, starring Lexi Lawson, Mark Nyme, Cardi Wong, and Beth Roderick.
Well, now we can start to feel happy because I really enjoyed this one. This was one of my favorites, if not my favorite, from Lifetime this season. I mean, the story is, we've seen it all the time with the Save the Store, but I kind of liked there was sort of this element of Christmas magic to the store. That was sort of fun. Mm-hmm. And I loved the whole little side romance between Cardi Wong and that girl. That was
like the only part I liked.
I liked the Lexi Lawson. I thought she was really cute, and I don't know. I bought her transformation, and I thought they had pretty good chemistry between the two leads. And I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cute.
Yeah, I don't agree. I was like, okay, Christmas Inheritance. Like, it took a lot for me to even want to watch this movie. Because I was like, I don't want to see any more inheriting, because I don't think they always do it well. I don't know if you noticed this, but the audio was awful the entire movie. it kept going up and down, and the sound, I was like, it's way too loud. I had to have my thumb on the volume button the entire time because audio was going up and down so quickly. Uh-huh. Like when there was music, it was way louder than it should be and stuff. And it just kind of took me away from the viewing experience. I don't even remember what happened between the main couple. Like, and I watched this yesterday. I just didn't like it. I forgot most of it afterward, and Cardi Wong was the only thing that saved this movie for me.
Yeah, I thought that his little side romance was so cute.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big fan of that. And I don't know, I kind of liked her sort of, it was almost like a superhero origin story. she sort of realizes that, and as this, and I like Beth Broderick as this sort of Santa.
Yeah, she did a good job. Really
cute, Mrs. Claus. She was cute. And yeah, she's sort of uncovering her Christmas magical powers. It was cute.
The little dinging sound whenever she found a present, I was like, really? Really? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was cute and for me. And I don't know. I guess I don't have that much more to say about it, but I just thought it was cute.
And I do have to say, I did laugh a lot when she was talking about selling this thing to the athleisure company.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the save the whatever plot line is not the best, mm-hmm. but I still enjoyed it. What can I say?
All right,
because I was just so burnt out on Christmas reservations that I...
What did you give it?
I'll give it a 3.75.
Jeez, okay.
Because I enjoyed it more than whatever one I gave 3.5 to.
That was Rock and Roll Christmas.
Yeah, I enjoyed it more.
Yeah, I gave it a 2.
Okay, good. All right.
All right. So next we have, actually, I didn't get a chance to see this one.
Okay.
But this is Radio Christmas, starring Keisha Knight, Pulham, Tim Reed, Belinda Montgomery, and Michael Xavier. And it's about a Philadelphia radio station closes for repairs during the holiday, and the DJ is forced to broadcast from the small town of Bethlehem. Is that Bethlehem?
Yeah, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's okay. Actually not a small town. It's yeah. Like a city.
Okay. I was like, am I reading that wrong? Is the city actually called Bethlehem?
Yeah, there really is. There's okay. Two.
Yeah. And then Christmas, it's a Christmas round year-round station on the radio, and Kara sees to uncover the identity of the town's secret Santa, an anonymous benefactor that saved all of Bethlehem's Christmas activities. Along the way, she discovers the true meaning of family, community, love, and of course, Christmas.
Yeah, so this movie is very up and down for me. It was a little better than I expected, because I have to admit, the other movies that I've seen with Keisha Knight Pulliam, who was on The Cosby Show, and I absolutely adored her. I really loved The Cosby Show back in the day. And anyway, the other movies I've seen with her have not been my favorite, like have been sort of DNFs. Like, not good, but she was pretty good in this. There was a warmth to her that I liked. But Michael Xavier, this guy, he is so charming. I was very impressed with him. He was a great leading man, in my opinion, and I really liked him in this. And he's a classic small town guy with many jobs. Which I love in these movies. And anything involving the radio station, and there's sort of a conflict between them, and she's wanting to interview him, and then certain things happen and he feels betrayed and whatever. All of that I hated. It was very boring, and I didn't buy the conflict. I didn't like it. But anything outside of that, involving the small town, involving there's a little girl, he has a little girl, involving, you know, Tim Reed plays his dad, all of that stuff I actually quite enjoyed and I thought was really good. But for a movie about this title, Radio Christmas, there really wasn't hardly any Christmas music, which I thought was weird. And So it was a mixed bag for me, but there were quite a bit of things that I did like in it. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably give it three stars.
Alrighty.
Yeah. But look out for this Michael Xavier. He was so charming.
So should I watch it?
If you have time, it's not a must-watch. It's not awful either. I'd give it, like I said, 3 out of 5.
All right. I'm not being a completionist this year, by the way. I can't do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. All right. So the next one is A Sweet Christmas Romance, starring Adeline Kane, Grayson Holt, Hazma Fahd, and Loretta Devine. And this is when a food stylist, Holly, returns home for Christmas. She learns that Loretta, the elderly owner of her favorite childhood bakery, is retiring and has started a contest to give the bakery away to whoever can recreate her famous 12 Days of Christmas recipes. Holly enters despite not being much of a cook. When the local baker named Brad also enters the contest, the two adversaries end up cooking something special together for the holidays.
So this movie, first of all, I do love, if you're going to do a save the whatever plot line, mm-hmm. it was kind of refreshing to me that the reason for the sale of the bakery was such a happy reason. She found love. And I mean, you know, it's not some corporate, you know, threatening to take them down or bankruptcy or anything like that. It was just, she's moving for love. I was like, that's nice. I like that.
Cute.
And I loved Loretta Devine. She's like the perfect mother. Mm-hmm. Like she's so warm and lovely. And I really like Adelaide Kane and Grayson Holt. I like Grayson so much better with short hair. He has had longer hair in a lot of different mm-hmm. movies. I liked it, I don't know, just more my style, I guess. And I thought that they had decent chemistry. Do you agree with me that Adelaide Kane should be in a movie where she plays Jessica Lowndes' sister?
I think they have similar features.
They
look
so much alike. Yeah. It would be great.
I don't know. I'm going to look it up, Jessica. I'm going to put them together on Google and see what happens.
Yes. They look so much alike to me. But I thought that they were good. I liked them. And I thought that her family was kind of funny and weird. Like, their sort of snarky commentary throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. Sort of enjoyable. Yeah. And also, like, evidently her mother is the worst baker, like,
ever.
Like, stay hilarious. Out of the kitchen, don't even step inside. That was funny. The thing I struggled with in this movie is I thought the plot was so dumb, even for one of these movies. The whole idea that there's this weird competition to, I guess it was to just get the lease. So they really mm-hmm. aren't, they're not, because at first I was so confused because I'm like, how does she afford? Like, she needs to sell in order to, like, unless she's independently wealthy, she can't just give away the bakery. What?
Maybe she's been good with her money all these years. She's got a little nice nest egg or something.
I mean, that's a pretty big nest egg. It's probably worth, you know, I mean, it's several hundred thousand dollars.
Maybe she's really good at the stock market.
I mean, it was just weird. And then they were like, oh, we'll sign you over the lease at the end. And so I'm like, oh, so they're not really giving it away. They're just, I don't know. So the plot the whole time, I'm just like, what is this competition? This is so dumb. And the whole idea that, like, she's making cookies, even towards the end, that people can't even eat. They can't even finish. Mm-hmm. And yet she's, I mean, she doesn't know to not, that you have to have egg in gingerbread and no egg in shortbread. Like, also, she supposedly worked for the bakery her whole life before she became a food stylist, and she didn't pick up any to make a cookie. Like, what?
Apparently not.
It's like, I mean, you'd think if you had worked at a bakery your whole life that you would know about eggs. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Like, at least.
It was, but whatever. I also thought it was kind of ridiculous that supposedly he's like a trained pastry chef and he doesn't know how to decorate a cookie. I mean, come on. And that was ridiculous. But I liked their cute little date scenes and their cute little interactions. I have to say, I hated her son Carson.
He was so irritating.
Right? He was so rude. And I didn't feel it at all. I was like to the assistant or whatever.
I'm like, he's so dumb. Like, he doesn't get it.
Yeah. He was so rude. And I'm like, she's way too good for him.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't feeling that relationship at all. And
and then it's like his attitude changed just like so quickly. It didn't make sense.
I didn't like it. And so I don't know. It's a mixed bag for me, I guess.
I mean, I really liked it. And it was mainly because of the main couple. The other stuff, I was like, whatever. But and I thought it was cute. And I mean, I love those baking shows. So that made me happy.
Also, that one scene where she first starts to bake at her house and she is covered in flour. Like, I don't even know how
you get that much flour. Like, how would you do that?
And then literally probably 5 minutes later, looks like she's ready to shoot a movie. I mean, she's like, when did she have time to shower in between this? What? I don't know. I mean, that's a nitpick, but I wish the plot had been better because I thought so many of the different ingredients were really good that I don't know. I wish the plot had been better.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would give it probably 3 stars.
3 stars. And I gave it 3.5 stars.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank our second sponsor of this episode of the podcast, the Glamour Jewelry Box Company. And they've been such a great sponsor for us. And it's a really fun thing. Everybody likes getting stuff in the mail. It's just such a fun surprise. And here you can get an affordable monthly jewelry subscription service where you get a bracelet, a necklace, and a pair of earrings each month. And they try to make them kind of trendy, but not like too weird or different. And it just will help you to get that perfect accessory for your party look, for your Christmas look. And it'd make a great gift.
Oh yeah, I think that would be really nice. I'm thinking about giving it to my cousin for Christmas this year. I think she'd like that.
Yeah, so you can save $5 off your first month subscription. You go to glamourjewelrybox.com, use code Hallmarkies during checkout, and you can save and get a really cute little surprise every month.
So we finished with Lifetime. Whew, finally. And then there's this other one that you wanted to talk about. This is currently it's video on demand release, right? Or is it a DVD release right now? And that's A Cinderella Story Christmas Wish. And it will be on Netflix on December 5th. So you might get a review from me later. Yeah. But this stars Laura Morano from Austin Alley, Greg Sulkin from, he was in a lot, and then Isabella Gomez. So what did you think of this, Rachel?
And it has Johanna Newmarch from What Goes to the Heart.
Ooh, okay.
And so I've actually really enjoyed the Cinderella Story movies for the most part. I've liked them. So I was actually looking forward to this and I thought it looked pretty cute. And at least for me, I found it very disappointing. I did not care for it at all. There are so many songs in this movie and in my opinion, they were not good songs. They were just, at best, they were very bland pop songs. And I mean, I like the Disney Channel musicals. Mm-hmm. I like them. But these weren't part of the story at all. These were literal performances on a stage kind of a thing for the most part. And I just didn't care for them. And by the end, I'm just like, if I hear another song, terrible song, I can't. And it wasn't funny enough to overcome how much I hated the songs. And I don't know. It just didn't do it for me. I didn't like it. So I'd give it, it was one of my least favorites of the season so far. So I'd probably give it like a 1.5.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't like it. It was hard to finish for me. But if you like those songs, then you'll probably like it better than me. But I just, I didn't like it. So, yeah.
Don't it's going to come it. Out on Netflix on December 5th, and I'm going to be like, oh my goodness, this is the best movie ever. What is Rachel talking about?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely designed for a younger demographic. But like I said, I like those Disney Channel musicals. So I can appreciate something for a different demographic. But just all the songs. You're a crazy person. But anyway, so there you go. That's my thoughts on Cinderella story. And I didn't tell my my rankings, but I have my Christmas movies 2019. I have watched 27 movies.
Oh my goodness.
And that's including Hallmark and everybody else. And I just really enjoyed Always and Forever Christmas. I thought it was so cute. Oh. And so I have that at number 4 for the season. And then I have Christmas with a Prince, Becoming Royal at 15. I have A Sweet Christmas Romance at 18, Radio Christmas at 19, Christmas Reservations at 22, and Cinderella Story Christmas Wish at 26.
Yeah, I only have watched 17 this year so far, so I'm a little bit farther behind Rachel. But I have Christmas with a Prince, Becoming Royal at number 7. I don't have Rock and Roll Christmas on here because for some reason that movie doesn't exist on this app yet. And then Christmas Reservations I have at number 12. Always and Forever Christmas I have at 14. And Sweet Christmas Romance I have at 8.
Oh, yeah, Rock and Roll Christmas. Where would I put it? Yeah, it's not on the
It's not app. On this app, and I don't know how to put it on there. So
so yeah, I would say Rock and Roll Christmas. I'd have it at probably 11. I'd probably put it at 11.
That it would probably be about the same.
So that would be 28 actually that I've seen 28 Christmas movies. So
I'm only at 17, so I have to watch 11 movies. To catch up with Rachel. It's not going to happen, but I can try.
So, yeah, there you go. That is my thoughts on the movies. It was an interesting mixture, that's for sure. I mean, people that think all of these movies are the same, I mean, we have some pretty good variety, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we will be talking about the Netflix and Disney Plus movies with Jennifer Chandler. Who's been on the show before. We're going to be recording that on Friday. So I'm really excited about that.
Ooh, me too.
Going to be fun. You got Noelle and you have
Lady in the Tramp.
Yeah.
Holiday in the Wild, Santa Girl, and Let It Snow. And you know what? I'm saying all of those because then you can watch them all so that you can listen to our review and know what we're talking about. Yeah. There we go.
Yep. Oh, well, thanks so much, Amos. It was really fun. So how can people follow you?
You can follow me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at It's Amy Craig.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and the Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. And if you're listening out on iTunes, please give us your ratings and reviews. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that. And consider becoming a patron of the channel. We sure appreciate all of our patrons. And we have so much fun talking about all these silly movies. And make sure you check out our merch store where we have some really fun holiday-inspired merch by artist Jessica Miller. So definitely check that out. There'll be a link in the description. And so thanks again, Amy. And we'll talk again on Friday.
Woo! Bye, guys. Bye.